The Power of Thought and the Essence of Life, Ingrid Young, SRC.
It's a pleasure to be here with all of you. Welcome, and thank you for choosing this evening for your time with us. Before we begin the presentation, I want us to join in an invocation that I think many of you who study the monographs will know this invocation. O wonderful, beautiful kingdom of light, shed upon these humble souls the beam of cosmic consciousness. Reach down and touch the souls that wait, and stir our souls with thoughts divine. Take into the world of love our hearts and psychic selves, that thus merged, we shall be but self of all. So mote it be. So let us begin the presentation that is entitled The Power of Thought and the Essence of Life. The Essence of Life is our theme this week. And I think that there are various ways of interpreting what that means. However, we'll have a few ideas also in this presentation. So here's an overview of what we're going to talk about this evening: initiating conscious change, the microcosm and macrocosm of thought, that familiar phrase, thoughts are things, and our thoughts can be made manifest, activating our thought forms, mastering our thoughts, which is a great challenge for most of us, including myself, the law of the triangle and how it applies, and finally, manifestation and the cosmic quintessence as we zero in even more so on this idea of the essence of life. This image, and I think you will enjoy seeing it, flowers. This is from the Toronto Botanical Gardens. And many of you who know something about cultivating plants will recognize peonies, but you might not be as familiar with the five-pointed blue star, which is also emblematic of the human being. Those five points representing also humanity, but five petals are often found in many, many plants in nature. Let us talk about this concept. This is an important point, and it's the launching point for this presentation, the idea of initiation. This is, I think, a quotation that really encapsulates what I really want to drive home tonight with you. The consciousness is initiated by changes in consciousness consciously. This is a profile of Froder Tolliver. I know it looks like it's pronounced differently, but Froder Tolliver insisted that his name be pronounced as Tolliver. He gave an RCUI course in San Jose to Rosicrucian students in 1981. And some of you may even have attended that, or you will remember Froder Tolliver, especially because of his ability with music and as a music conductor. He taught very much about the vowel sounds. A member of our order for over 50 years, Froder Tolliver went by the motto of Alcuin. Alcuin was an Englishman who became part of the court of Charlemagne. You see his dates there, passing through transition in 804 CE. This is Alcuin's kind of motto: Dusk ut docius, learn that you may teach. Our order gives us the knowledge of cosmic laws and principles, but also the techniques whereby we can initiate changes in our own consciousness. Let me put the right buttons here. Hold on, sorry. Initiations can occur formally through ritual, as we know, and these are very important in our tradition because we are an initiatic tradition, but also through experience. In this presentation, we will explore the power of thought and its relationship to the initiatory process. Well, frauders and throwers, of course, you may feel welcome to take notes as we go through the presentation, but there will be resources posted toward the end. So in a PDF that you can download. You will see here a slide that on the one hand shows you an illustration of what we consider to be the microcosm. That is neurons in the brain, the very, very small. And we have an illustration of a person whose brain is activated. Again, this is kind of illustration and not a real photograph, but what we call the microcosm, the human being. And on the other hand, in the material world, the macrocosm, that is the cosmos, which consists of stars, and you see foreground stars here, but also galaxies, great oceans of stars at fabulous distances that are very difficult even for us to imagine. But we can take journeys through the use of thought and imagination to the far reaches of the universe and beyond. And this is one of the first photographs taken by the James Webb Telescope by NASA. In speaking of the human brain mind, the brain, remember, is the vehicle. The mind is that which has the thoughts. The human brain mind and the cosmos are in actuality one, since cosmic intelligence informs both. The term that we use in the order is the cosmic. Cosmic refers to the intelligence that pervades all, meaning all natural laws and principles that govern both the microcosm and the macrocosm, including the visible and invisible domains. This is an expression coined by Donald Hebb in 1949, and I know you've heard it before. Neurons that fire together wire together. Our senses give us detailed and fast information about the world around us from our outward or objective self. Our subjective self synthesizes sensory information, memories, and emotions, and from these creates thought forms. New research shows how neurons accomplish this task without overloading. Let us say, for instance, that you're driving along or going for a walk, and you're admiring someone's garden and you see white and pink peonies and you have a memory that comes to you or an association. You can think of Neapolitan ice cream as I did the other day with its vanilla, strawberry and chocolate. And then I remembered how a dear frauder Wallace, a member in his 80s for many years, a part of our little local group, would bring us Neapolitan ice cream on a hot summer night. That was always welcome. So when we receive information from our senses, our minds also synthesize that information. And we talk about our sensory information that then is associated with memories and even emotions, that is the subjective self. Remember that the brain and the mind do act as one, and there is but one self. Later in the resources, you will see this reference to how you can learn more about the Hebbian ensemble. And this one comes from the Friedemann Zenka Lab of Neuronal Activity, which was published in Neuroscience News in December 2021. Something else that I recently learned and want to share with you is the phrase long-term potentiation. This concept, or in a way, this information or fact about how neurons operate is a way of explaining and understanding how your thoughts can actually influence bioelectrical chemistry of your brain. So repetition deepens the trench. That is, when we repeat certain thoughts, our neurons are, and I'll show you here in a moment how that works. You become, as they say, potentiated. Lack of activity weakens the signal. Repeated thoughts affect the strength of neuronal signals, and thus the immaterial affects the material. And here's the explanation. Something called synaptic plasticity also refers to the fact that when there's damage to the brain, that other areas can take over. And even as we age and our memories become a little weaker, we can engage in certain mental activities or games that help stimulate neuronal growth, like learning a new language or playing a new instrument later in life. And here we see an explanation. You see the numbering over on this side of the chart on the right. Number one refers to, this is if you are thinking along certain lines and repeat these thoughts, you'll see that the amount of neurotransmitter released increases, the number of postsynaptic receptors available, number two, increases, as well as resulting in changes in synaptic strength. And you see that here, which is also an electrical, chemical, biochemical reaction. And in the resources later, you will also see Alan Woodruff's mentioned in the University of Queensland in Australia. You can read that article then online. In our Rosicrucian studies, we've often used the term thoughts are things. Understanding long-term potentiation helps us to actually see the biochemical effects of our thoughts. And I'll get into in just a moment that this can be positive or they can be perhaps a little bit destructive too. And remember that our thoughts have great power over our physiology. Stress is certainly a factor in daily living that can affect us totally in our bodies. Our environment also is affected by our thoughts because thought leads to action. And the people around us, those of us who have folks that we live with, people who are close to us, can often sense what we're feeling or even thinking sometimes. And we study the idea of psychic projection of thoughts in our monographs. We attract what we think about with great psychic force. Fortunately, there is also a gap between our thoughts. As you saw, there's a literal gap between one nerve ending and the next in neuronal activity, just as there is also between our thoughts and what we manifest with them, which allows us to alter the outcome, thankfully. Some of you may be aware of this particular new thought writer from the beginning of the 20th century. Here's a quotation from Florence Scovel Shinn. Owing to the vibratory power of words, whatever we voice, we begin to attract. And that comes from her essay, The Power of the Word, in the short book, The Game of Life and How to Play It. Words are uttered both in the mind and through the breath. And the sounds themselves have great power as they resonate according to the octaves of the cosmic keyboard of vibrations. Fearlessness may seem difficult, especially if you are accustomed to assuming and even voicing the worst. I have had some close relatives who tended always to project the worst possible outcome. Please call me when you get home. I want to make sure you weren't in an accident, something like that. And that can be distressing to the person who hears that and can be distressing to the person who voices such things. Rather, know that love and inner wisdom are your shield and your guide to mastering your thoughts and your circumstances. Now, constructive and destructive thinking. As the Grand Master has mentioned in several of her Wednesday teleconferences, we do tend to ruminate on non-productive or negative thoughts. However, that doesn't mean we're doomed if we don't switch these off. Rather, focus on becoming aware of your thinking. Notice or witness your thoughts and what tends to trigger emotional responses. Likewise, note what makes you happy. Many people or some people do feel that because they've had traumatic events in their past, they feel the need for therapy and for assistance. And we totally recommend that people do receive therapy if they're struggling with thoughts and emotions or past trauma, memories, et cetera, that are harmful to themselves and to others. And this is very important that we deal with these things, because the mystical path also requires us to have a good sense of who we are and confidence in our abilities. This does develop gradually, but we are not a therapeutic organization quite in that way. We offer people the techniques whereby they can improve their lives. However, if you've experienced something more extreme in your past or whatever, we do indeed recommend therapy. Use a gentle gaze when thinking about yourself or observing your own thoughts. Know that thoughts are effervescent, like soap bubbles. They appear, they disappear. They come, they go. They arise, they subside. You've all had that experience of thinking, oh, I need to do something, I need to get this object, and walk into the room and then forget what it was that you thought you needed. We often have these kinds of experiences. Thoughts are effervescent. They are transitory. Redirected, however, they can change your life. This is an important quotation, and it appeared actually if you subscribe to the weekly quotations from, as a Rosicrucian student, you will have seen this one. Let us learn to let go, to not allow ourselves to be overwhelmed by the circumstances and conditions of this world. Let us constantly remember that at the heart of ourselves, as at the heart of all human beings, there forever stands a silent and watchful guardian, a master within. That is a quotation from Imperator Emeritus Christian Bernard. Meditation is a powerful means of making enormous change in our lives and also literally in our brain structure. A personal sanctum is recommended in our studies at the very beginning, that we find a quiet place where we can be alone and meditate and also study, because work and worship are two very important aspects of our tradition and of the mystical tradition generally. This is a personal sanctum in the Spanish jurisdiction. You can see the equivalent of the Rosicrucian Digest there in Spanish. Attuning with the essence of life, the divine within, or as we also say, the master within, has a powerful effect on our overall well-being, happiness, and mastery of daily challenges. Things aren't quite as overwhelming. We take the time to even weekly to do our lessons. Consistent meditators, however, even novices, that is, if you haven't meditated before, you don't do so on a regular basis, there are studies that show that daily practice of meditation of 10 to 20 minutes show remarkable changes in brain function, even more so if meditation is practiced twice a day, morning and evening. Benefits include improved neuroplasticity. That is, you are creating more pathways in the brain. Memory function is improved. Emotional resilience, which is very important to all of us. Reduced anxiety and an overall improvement in mood by lessening depression and worry. That is really the power of meditation. and there will be several resources posted soon. Focus shifts from the ego or small me to the meta self. Becoming a mystic and mastering our thoughts is likely our life's greatest challenge. To manifest our lives in a constructive direction, we must attune with those higher frequencies of vibration, the highest of which is love. Many of us tend to see the flaws in others and also in ourselves, and we magnify these thoughts, especially by repeating them. Contemplation of how we can improve is important. Of course it is. We're all on the road to evolution and self-improvement. But so is suspending judgment by turning within to that eternal presence, the essence of all life. I cannot stress to you how important that is, because there are some of us who struggle with the idea of self-love. We felt that maybe mistakes that we made or choices that we made in the past have created certain circumstances today which are problematic for us. In fact, especially in relationships or even financially, etc. However, turning to that eternal presence within is a powerful way of regaining confidence and self-love, because you have that perfect love. It's with you all the time, and it is you. This is the real you. Switch your focus to that perfect inner essence, and you can restore your well-being. Shift from poverty consciousness to abundant living, and minimize the effects of aging and disease. Aging is inevitable. Disease is not necessarily inevitable, but disease also functions according to natural laws, cause and effect. So, frauders and sorors, what is the essential purpose of the Rosicrucian teachings, exercises, and techniques? Here we have the Soul of the Rose, a beautiful painting by John William Waterhouse from 1908. It is the cover of our current volume, volume 17 of the Rose Quad Journal. And you will see Karen is about to post the resources in the chat. And it's a PDF file that you can download and then save and open. And she will also paste the resources into the chat so you may look at these. So while you're doing that, I'll just speak a little bit more about the purpose of the Rosicrucian teachings, because I know that you can actually do two things at once. The initiatory process allows us to evolve our consciousness consciously. Remember that expression, that quotation from Frater Tolliver, to evolve our consciousness consciously, not unconsciously, consciously. That's why we're here, why we're given this lifespan, this existence, this body, this mind, this personality, in order to evolve our consciousness. That is the essential purpose of the Rosicrucian teachings, to make that a conscious process. Thus, we are able to see what was in the past, how the past is related to the present, and how we can create the future. All we have is now. If you have a chance to listen to Imperator Claudio Mizzuco's message, please do so, because he emphasized this very important point. We are conscious in this moment, and that is all we have. The past is a memory. The future is a thought. It's a projection. There are two ways of looking at time. One is that it's a kind of river, and that it's constantly changing, and that we cannot hold on to it And then there's the other concept of that there is an eternal present. It is now, and that's all we have. And that's what we must be conscious of, be awake, aware, and what we need to value. We can also keep in our minds, in the present, possible result we wish to manifest in the future. We can make it a living reality in the present, in consciousness. And that is the great power of thought. Thought leads to action. A manifestation in the future can thus also be the cause in the present. And if you have trouble wrapping your mind around that, please do see Michael Amaral's paper, Entanglement, Causality, and the Cohesion of Space-Time, in volume 2 of the Rose Croix Journal. And you would find it in the archive. The Rose Croix Journal is a scholarly publication, but most of the articles are easy to access. That is, they're understandable to everyone. So now let us discuss a little bit more about the law of the triangle. The law of the triangle is a fundamental cosmic law. It is an expression of cosmic intelligence. And these last few slides are really about the idea of manifesting our thoughts. When you look at this diagram, you see conscious thought in the upper left corner, and then subconscious thought or cosmic mind on the other, and then leading to manifestation. Conscious thought and subconscious or even unconscious thoughts and the cosmic mind are effervescent, as we said. They're not solid things. You can see neurons firing. And of course, fMRIs are very sensitive. They can also see how, while we're thinking about things or imagining things, we have machines that are sensitive that show that the brain is firing. There's another paper in the Rose Croix Journal quite early on by Dr. Brian Young, where toward the end, he tells a joke by mentioning that there was a neuroscientist at a big meeting with other neuroscientists and neurologists, et cetera. And this man was drawing an analogy with the parts of the brain to playing a piano. And then one man raised his hand and said, "But who is playing the piano?" And that's where the cosmic mind comes in. There is so much occurring in our bodies that we are not conscious of. That activity, involuntary activity, is unconscious. And fortunately so, because we don't need to think about digesting food. We don't need to think about the circulation of the blood. However, we can, using conscious thought, control even certain bodily functions. So who is the one playing the piano? That's the interesting question. So conscious thought then is planted in or goes into the subconscious mind. This is one way that you can change habits, by giving your subconscious the suggestion, for instance, to stop smoking, to stop biting your nails, or to change any other habit that you wish to change. And this is talked about in detail in our monographs. Those two things come together to create a manifestation, either an action or even something that you desire in the material world. Our thoughts are immaterial, as is the thinker. So those two points on the triangle are immaterial, the one who has the thoughts. We can activate our thought forms by giving them emotional power. An emotion is a very strong driver of our thoughts. To create manifestations in the world for ourselves and for others, we also use deep breathing and vowel intonations. When you visualize something, let's say you need a new car, if that's what you want, see yourself owning it, not just driving it, that you own it, if that's what it is that you want, or a new living situation, etc. Those three things, deep breathing, vowel intonations, and emotions, are three very powerful drivers of our thought forms. Let us now talk about what is the essence of life. And here is another diagram with a triangle reversed. We have many terms that we use for the divine: cosmic consciousness, universal soul, and nous. These are associated with, or this is associated with, the vowel sounds om and aum, also oom. Part of the triangle here shows Ra associated with the vital life force as positive, and spirit energy as negative, and Ma. In the Rosicrucian teachings, nous is that all-pervasive force that emanates from the source of life. Nous has both positive and negative polarities. This is relatively speaking to each other. Even when we use the term negative thoughts, we don't mean that really in terms of polarity. We mean that maybe relatively speaking, what is negative for one person may not be negative for another. It's like having an opinion or a preference for something. But when we talk about polarities in the world of science, we're also talking about polarities that are relative to each other. Vital life force is VLF for short. It is positive in relationship to spirit energy. And spirit here is a very unique way that Rosicrucians talk about matter. And we're talking about matter at the level of the quantum field. So the material world, these differ in rates of vibration and they form the essence of creation. So nous is composed or of both of these, but again, see them all as one. Nous expresses itself as vibration in ascending octaves according to natural law and manifests the world of form, visible and invisible. This unity of being via the cosmic keyboard can be invoked by the use of the attendant vowel sounds, Ra, Ma, and Om. Here's another diagram, and these three words are very important to Rosicrucians. They describe the triune nature of being, but it is, of course, our rational minds that needs to separate and categorize things. However, remember, what we're talking about is a unity of being. In nature, the body of any living organism, each cell is infused with vital life force, even though the material elements change over time. Think about some examples. The caterpillar transforms into the butterfly, yet it is the same entity. The acorn into the oak tree, the infant into the adult. Think of your own childhood when you were a small child. That person that is you is the same person, consistent over all your various ages, through adolescence, through young adulthood, through midlife, through old age. The essence is the same. The soul essence or consciousness of each, its immaterial aspect, is constant. At death, or as we say, transition, these aspects seem to separate. They seem to separate. But remember, there is but one universal soul pervading all. And in speaking of the concept of what happens at transition, there is Rosicrucian ontology, the idea of pure consciousness, that there is one consciousness that you are participating in right now. and that does not change. But you are expressing yourself in a mortal vehicle. As mystics, we strive to bring our outer personality into better alignment with the inner self, the one soul, becoming conscious of that connection. And this is in every moment of our existence. It's a very powerful, transformative realization. The human body, with its brain, is the vehicle for the expression of soul consciousness. And if I might use a comparison or analogy, it's a little bit like a radio. If the radio is broken, it can't receive the signal, but that doesn't mean that the signal isn't there. The essence of life also powers our thoughts. Our thoughts, our words, and our actions. And Frater Tolliver, in his RCUI course in the 1980s, gave this definition of the Aum, Aum. Ah for divine will, U, divine love, the M sound for divine intelligence. And we make use of all three of these in one when we intone this vowel sound. Deep breathing allows us to generate great psychic and cosmic energy. We breathe in nous and with it the vital life force. Through deep breathing, we create excess energy that we can share. So that this is a powerful technique that we can use in absent healing or metaphysical aid, transforming the earth itself into a more peaceful and vibrant place through our thoughts. When we visualize and then drop a thought form into the subconscious, we send it out free from our aura into the cosmic source to attract the means to manifest our thoughts. The subconscious is a bridge to the cosmic source, to the cosmic mind. We can create a sense of vitality and health on the physical plane by using vowel sounds at the same time, also focusing our mind. And that allows us to resonate all the other octaves, both physically and psychically. The four elements of alchemy and the fifth cosmic essence, and you see them illustrated here. And if you do have a chance to visit San Jose, please do take the opportunity to see the alchemy exhibit. And here they are in order from left, then down to the lower left, then to the right side. So air, earth, fire, water, and in the center, the fifth element, the quinta essentia, the philosopher's stone, the essential fifth element, the cosmic essence. A little bit more about the cosmic essence. The cosmic quintessence, as it's often called, is represented as the stone of the philosophers. And that diagram that you saw in the previous slide is sometimes referred to as squaring the circle. It's something that mystics do through their work and worship, and worship, of course, through their meditations. The primordial emanation is the cosmic quintessence, that primordial emanation of the divine, that fifth element in alchemy out of which the other four arise. The great mystery of our existence is the divine nature of this cosmic essence that animates us on all levels while also suffusing the entire universe. We are not unique in that way. Everything is conscious through the consciousness of the cosmic. It is the perfection of soul consciousness that resides at the very center of our being, often symbolized by the heart center, the dot in the circle, and the rose centered in the cross. And here you see actually the reverse in this illustration from the secret symbols of the Rosicrucians of the 16th and 17th centuries. You see the rose magnified. Cosmic love, light, life and love, an image of the heart with the cross at the center. It represents both the physical plane and the spiritual plane and their point of intersection at the center. And it is through us that the cosmic becomes conscious. How do we harmonize with the outer self, with the inner self? What can we say about that? It's a beautiful illustration here. It's symbolic. Again, the five-pointed star representing the human being. And we see here circulatory system, possibly the nerves. We see the earth. We see a piano keyboard. This beautiful painting called Teclado Cosmico, the cosmic keyboard, was by Nicomedes Gomez. The outer self may seem imperfect and transitory, but the cosmic quintessence is the life, light, and love within you. Through the power of thought, you can harmonize with the quintessence consciously. The power of thought combined with love at its highest level draws all that you require to you. And you will know intuitively if your thought is in harmony with the inner self. Remember, to emit this highest frequency, you must also love yourself and have confidence in yourself. That's very difficult for the outer self to do. That's why it's important to turn inward and recognize that essential aspect of yourself that is always with you. When you surrender to this notion by focusing on the divine presence, the quintessence within, you can accomplish your every heart's desire. Now, Frauders and Strewers, we will briefly perform a short exercise, and this is very brief. That beautiful rose, by the way, comes from Amork in the UK, and it represents really our evolving consciousness, the unfolding of our soul personality as we work through each successive incarnation. So please sit in the Rosicrucian position for meditation. Relax and take three deep breaths. These can be neutral. You don't need to hold your breath on full or empty, and do that at your own pace. As you inhale, feel yourself becoming more alert, conscious, aware. As you exhale, feel yourself becoming more deeply relaxed. You may close your eyes. Concentrate on the heart center. And on the following invocation. May the sublime essence of the cosmic that penetrates the entire universe and infuses my being reveal itself to my consciousness so that I and all others may benefit from its purifying and regenerating power. So mote it be. Now let us end with the vowel sounds Aum, Ra, Ma, Om. Aum, Ra, Ma, Om. Aum, Ra, Ma, Om. Aum, Ra, Ma, Om. Thank you, Frauders and Strewers. It was a great pleasure being with you. As always, Thank you very much for being here. Peace profound.